Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, January 17th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Tim Pawlenty won't run for U.S. Senate, and Governor Dayton proposes a big bonding bill. Former Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty has slammed the door shut on a U.S. Senate run this year. It came during an interview with Neil Cavuto yesterday on the Fox Business Network.
Well, Neil, I am very interested in public service and service for the common good. There are a lot of different ways to do that, but I'll tell you today that running for the United States Senate in 2018 won't be part of those plans.
So you have no interest in hearing out some of these fundraisers who are saying, we need a bigger Republican name. We have no one to go for this seat. You're saying, don't talk to me.
Well, I have I certainly appreciate that kind of encouragement and people thinking of me in those terms. But, you know, if anybody's going to run for the United States Senate this November, that's now only 10 months away. And it's going to be a very competitive race and a tough state for a Republican. So you'd have to start very soon. And like I said, I'm interested in continuing to serve, but there's a variety of ways to do that. Running for U.S. Senate this year won't be one of them.
Republican State Senator Karen Housley has said she will run for the seat. So has DFL Senator Tina Smith, who was appointed to the office after Democrat Al Franken resigned. Pawlenty still hasn't made a definitive statement on whether he's interested in a run for governor this year. DFL Governor Mark Dayton is proposing a $1.5 billion state borrowing plan for public works construction projects. The bonding bill recommendations released yesterday include repairs and improvements to state buildings and college campuses throughout the state. Republicans say it's too big, as Tim Pugmire reports.
Dayton's $1.5 billion plan includes $542 million for building projects at the University of Minnesota and Minnesota State campuses. The bulk of the spending, $998 million, is divided among state building repair, affordable housing, water infrastructure upgrades, and a long list of local projects.
It's a robust bonding bill.
Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner Myron Franz announced the proposal during a state Capitol news conference that Dayton was unable to attend due to a bad cold. Franz said the public works package for Dayton's last legislative session would make urgent investments and create an estimated 22,950 construction jobs. Franz also stressed that the proposal falls well within the state's statutory debt guidelines.
The governor's proposal is a smart investment in Minnesota's future and reduces a backlog of deferred maintenance before the cost of these urgently needed projects escalates even further.
University of Minnesota President Eric Kaler and Minnesota State Chancellor Devinder Malhotra helped Franz make the case for the governor's bonding plan. Kaler said $250 million of the $299 million designated for the U of M would help repair and remodel aging buildings.
On our Twin Cities campus alone, more than 50% of our facilities are 50 years old or older. They need to be renewed so that our students can learn in spaces that best prepare them for Minnesota's 21st century workforce.
The U of M bonding list also includes renovation work for Pillsbury Hall and the Glen Sheen Mansion. The Minnesota State designation of $243 million is also heavy on the repair of buildings. The governor's recommendations also include a $30 million renovation project at historic Fort Snelling, a $50 million bus garage for the Met Council, and $21 million for Minnesota Zoo upgrades. Republicans in the Minnesota House and Senate are not expected to back a bonding bill as large as Dayton's proposal. Lawmakers passed a nearly $1 billion public works measure last spring. GOP Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said this year's bonding bill would need to be significantly less than $1 billion.
I really want to have conversations with everybody about what do we need first, what are the core infrastructure needs, and then let's look at the number. But I want to be careful that we don't spend too much money. I mean, that's always been where I'm addressing things from.
The chair of the House Capital Investment Committee, Republican Representative Dean Erdahl, also raised concerns about the cost. Erdahl noted that Dayton's plan would spend $600 million more than what was planned for in the state budget. He said the governor will face an uphill battle gaining legislative support. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire at the Capitol.
A consultant's report for the legislature says the state's cost to lease a private prison in western Minnesota would be nearly twice the price of housing inmates in county jails. Mark Stile reports.
City officials in Appleton want the state to take over the 1,600-bed prison that's been closed since 2010. The facility is owned by Tennessee-based CoreCivic. The report by the Klein McCarthy Architects team says the state's 10 male correctional facilities are full, so the state leases extra space in county jails at about $55 a day per inmate. The report says leasing the Appleton facility would cost almost $100 a day per inmate. The report also says it would cost the state nearly $200 million to buy and fix the prison, spreading the repair bill over 15 years. Staffing would also cost more at Appleton, about $82 a day per inmate compared to $66 at the comparably sized Stillwater prison. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
State health officials say nitrates in Minnesota's drinking water are a growing concern. That's why a decision by Brown County to reject a free nitrate testing program for private wells is raising eyebrows. As part of our ongoing coverage of water issues, Kirsty Marone looks at why the program has sparked controversy.
If the water from your tap comes from a public source like your city, it's tested for things that could make you sick. But if your water comes from your own private well, it's up to you to get it tested. That worries state officials like Bruce Montgomery with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
What we know from past testing experience is most people on private wells have never tested it.
There are reasons for that. It's a hassle to take a sample to a research lab, and there's the cost, ranging from around $17 to more than $100. Some people might not be aware they live in an area where the drinking water contains contaminants like nitrates. High levels of nitrates pose health risks, including a life-threatening blood disorder known as blue baby syndrome. Nitrates can come from failing septic systems or too much lawn fertilizer. In Minnesota, the biggest source is animal manure or commercial fertilizer used in agriculture. Montgomery says about 4 years ago, the Department of Agriculture launched a program focused on townships where groundwater is vulnerable to nitrates.
So what we wanted to do was really start to target in on, okay, which agricultural areas in the state should we really start to take a good look at and help citizens understand what they're drinking?
Every home with a private well in those townships is offered a free nitrate test. Montgomery says if a well tests high, the department tries to find out if it's due to a faulty well or a bigger issue.
We're talking about within 6 to 12 months, we have a pretty darn good idea of do we have a nitrate problem in this township or not.
The department tested 167 townships. Then it ran into a roadblock in south central Minnesota. The Brown County Board declined to approve the program after some citizens voiced concern that the test results might be used to target farmers for regulations. Greg Bartz is president of the Brown County Farm Bureau.
The assumption is that all these nitrates come from farmers and from fertilizer when they're coming there naturally from the natural breakdown of organic matter in the soil. So being blamed for something that is not our fault.
But Carrie Jennings of the Freshwater Society says there's solid science showing that nitrates from fertilizer can leach from the soil into the groundwater.
There is industry pushback on changes to farm practices. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing because, you know, from their point of view, this is a required nutrient.
County officials say they already offer a free water testing program for families with newborns. Commissioner Dave Borkert says he's an environmentalist and lost a baby brother to blue baby syndrome in the 1950s. But he says there were too many unanswered questions about the nitrate testing program.
I just felt at that particular time, I didn't have enough information to support it. I'm certainly not against clean water.
But environmental groups are critical. Trevor Russell is with Friends of the Mississippi River. He says 19 Minnesota counties agreed to participate in the program before Brown County became the first to turn it down.
So for a county to sort of deny its families the chance to find out if their drinking water is safe is certainly surprising and not the trend we've seen so far.
Experts recommend having your well tested for nitrates every 2 years. That way, you'll know exactly what you're pouring in your glass. Covering the environment, I'm Kirsty Marone, Minnesota Public Radio News, Collegeville.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.